Our Flower Communion service is always one of my favorite services of the year, and I know that it holds a special place in the hearts of many of us. But this isn't a normal Flower Communion Sunday, for this Sunday marks the 100th anniversary of the Flower Communion ritual. On June 4th, 1923, the very first flower ceremony, that's what they called it then, flower ceremony, took place at that day's Sunday service at the Unitarian Church in Prague. A man named Norbert Chapek is the one who came up with this beloved ritual. Who is Norbert Chapek, you might ask? Norbert Fabian Chapek was a Unitarian minister. He had grown up Catholic in a strict Catholic family, but he was restless and liberal-minded and eventually became a Baptist minister. He also got really interested in the history of religion in Bohemia and Moravia, where he lived, and he really wanted to celebrate this tradition and legacy of free Christianity that he found in their history. He was so outspoken about this that his fellow Baptists were troubled by him and didn't really get along with him so well, and so it seemed like a good idea for him to move to the United States in 1914. So that's what he did, and he became the minister of a Baptist church in New York City for a while. But that only really worked for a few years. In 1919, he wrote this in his diary. He said, "I cannot be Baptist anymore. Even in compromise, the fire of new desires, new worlds is burning inside me." So he left the church and he left ministry for a little bit. They were living in the States. He had met and married Maya, his wife, and they had some kids. And in 1921, they found their way to the Unitarian Church in Orange, New Jersey, and joined that church. Why do you think they came? The RE program. The kids wanted to come to the RE program. So that's why they were there. They joined that congregation. And I think Norbert probably reveled in the theological freedom that he found in that congregation, because later that same year, the Chapek family returned to Prague in a newly independent Czechoslovakia, and with the help of Maya, his wife, his daughter Bodana, and her husband Karl Haspel, they created a nationwide movement in Czechoslovakia and founded a Unitarian church in Prague. And within 20 years, that Unitarian church in Prague grew to over 3,200 members in Prague. It was the largest Unitarian congregation in the world. And they had some support from the American Unitarian Association in order to do that. So, why did Norbert Chapek invent the flower communion, you might ask? One thing to know is that Chapek really thought that community was really important. It was one of the most important aspects to him that a religion should promote, is joining together freely in community. As much as people should be free to do kind of what they want to do, he also thought it was especially important for people just to freely join together with one another, to support one another. Chapek had a deep faith in the potential that people have for change and growth and progress, but he believed we can't do it alone and shouldn't do it alone. We're all connected with one another. We all need one another. We all have a deep commonality, and we should celebrate the ways in which we're different from one another and accept the ways that we're different from one another. So Chapek was wondering what would be a good symbol for this idea, this theological idea of his. The Unitarian Church that Chapek led did not feel comfortable with any of the symbols of the Christian churches that they had formerly been part of. Some of you might feel the same way. There were lots of people in his congregation who were atheist. And so between those things, he really wanted a symbol that could be accessible to everybody in that congregation. So inspired by the beauty that he saw in nature, Chapek had the idea of this new symbol. He called it the flower celebration. And so here's how Chopik explained this new symbol. He said, quote, "We have chosen flowers, nature's most tender, common, and beautiful gift as our symbol and sacrament." He explained that, quote, "Number one, each of us is symbolized in a flower. Two, flowers together in a vase symbolize our fellowship, our commonality. Three, the way we brought and carry away flowers symbolizes voluntarism and freedom. And four, when you leave this meeting, in peace and without rush, each of you take a blossom out of the bunch of flowers without choosing, as a sign that you do not pick who you want to accept as sibling, as family, as a member of the community." Now, that last point is a new one for me this year. The flower celebration is a celebration of how a diverse bunch of people can choose to be together. It's always a ceremony that's really kind of touched my heart. It's a symbol of how we can join with one another and see one another as divine and worthy and beautiful. The spiritual practice embodied by this ritual is to be broadly open and accepting of diversity. And we don't just limit ourselves to joining with those who are our favorites or those who look like people we might already like. We are already in community with one another, and our task is to recognize that we do not choose the members of our community, and yet we are called to welcome and to respect one another, even when that other seems different or unusual. In one of the hymns that Chopik wrote with the flower ceremony in mind, he describes the flowers and the blossoms all next to one another in the vase to symbolize how we hold one another in love. Chopik says, "Let every blossom be a monument of love." He says, "There are no barriers here. Everybody is each other's. Everybody is each other's. In every blossom, the others are connected. All are dear and holy to all. If I take one, I welcome all in it. I count them as related in God's spirit." Two profound recognitions. First, it's incredibly special that we celebrate how we have chosen freely to gather together to support one another and our spiritual growth. Celebrate how we are striving to see one another as a sacred gift. And second, beyond the community we are creating by freely choosing to gather together, we are called to feel our shared humanity in every person, because as diverse as we are all connected. We are all part of the human family and part of the web of life. We are part of a community beyond our choosing, and that is to be treated as a sacred gift as well. I wanted to tell you a little bit more about Norbert Chopik and his wife, Maya. When he came back to Prague, Norbert Chopik, as you might imagine, wasn't any less outspoken or any less radically liberal than he was when he left. In fact, he was maybe even a little more so. And what was happening now? So he comes back in the 20s and the 30s, and what's happening in nearby Germany? Right? The Nazis are coming into power in Germany, and then Germany invades Czechoslovakia. When that happened, Norbert Chopik knows lots of people in the United States. He receives an invitation to come to the United States. "Look, it's getting dangerous. You should get out of there. We want you to be safe." His wife Maya had come back to the United States in 1939. She was there for a little while in 1939 to do some fundraising to help relief efforts, to help people who were being targeted by the Nazis. So she spent a little bit of time in the United States in 1939, came back, brought the money back, and then went back again in 1940. And then couldn't get back just because World War II was happening. Norbert had received this invitation for him, too, to come to the United States. He decided not to. He decided to stay in Prague. He thought it was important to be there. Norbert's ideas and ideals of freedom and progress got him in trouble with the Nazis. The Nazis accused him of listening to foreign broadcasts and sharing and distributing information that he heard from the BBC. I wonder how many people here would be guilty of that. That was a capital offense. That was a capital offense. So they arrested him in March of 1941. They sent him to one prison in Czechoslovakia and then later sent him to Dachau, the concentration camp. Norbert Čapek was killed in 1942 by the Nazis, basically for his liberal ideas. I've seen conflicting reports of this. Some say that he was gassed, and some say that he died from a lethal injection as part of a medical experiment that the Nazis were running on people. But he died in 1942. The death certificate said he died from heart failure due to a stroke. When Norbert Čapek was killed, Maja Čapek, who had been ordained a Unitarian minister in 1926, she was serving at the North Unitarian Church in New Bedford, Massachusetts. She was there from 1940 to 1943. She probably, while she was there, introduced the flower ceremony to that church in New Bedford. We know for sure that she introduced the flower celebration to the first parish church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, because they have the order of service from this, and a little pamphlet that was published at the time to explain about what this ceremony was. So she explained that it was a program for both the old and the young, so adapted to carry the message of fidelity and devotion to all united in the fellowship of the church and to God, and to symbolize the communion with brethren abroad. So the first flower communion ceremony in the United States, they're being celebrated right in the middle of World War II. This is an anti-fascist ritual. This is an anti-fascist ritual, which gives me chills just to think of it that way. The flower ceremony is such a powerful symbol. It could be that it helped to sustain Čapek while he was imprisoned. We know that he held a flower ceremony with his fellow prisoners, finding whatever flowers they could among the weeds of the camp. They used the ceremony as a testimony to a beauty larger than themselves and a love that would outlive them. While in the concentration camp, Čapek continued to write poems and to write hymns, and I'd like to share with you now a poem that he wrote in Dresden prison that was actually only found among his papers 5 or 6 years ago. So this is a poem called It Is Worthwhile to Live, and Lucy's going to read it for us.
It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow he evil winds into my body's fire. My soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. He who was pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcomed into the choir. He who overcame the fetters, giving wings to the mind, is entering into the golden age of the victorious.